Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Spence. Hey, you guys already met me, but this is my husband. I want to tell you some cool things about him. His name is Spencer, and he owns a business, and his business is called The Perfect Plumber.
It's here for plumbers.
You guys are way too nice. He's totally not perfect, okay? So... just so you know, that's always my secret. I like to tell people, who names their business The Perfect Plumber? It's kind of arrogant, isn't it? No, I'm kidding. Actually, he's pretty amazing. So today, we're going to... oh, I better say our names, right? So for the recording, Spencer and Nicolene Peck, and this class is called Choose Your Own Adventure, What Will You Decide? Mysterious, hey? I'm so excited about this. When I was young, they had these books, and they were called Choose Your Own Adventure books. Have you seen those before?
Yes.
Do they still have them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sort of surprised about that. I mean, I haven't gone looking for them or anything. But in these books, they had, it would be like, this angry ogre is coming after you. What will you do? If you are going to freeze dead in your tracks, then keep reading on page 276. If you are going to run away afraid, then keep reading on page 309. If you're going to stay and fight, continue reading here. Have you read one of those kind of books before? They're kind of silly, but I really liked them. I remember when they came out, and it was so fun to have these stories that you could pick whatever you wanted to do. What a novel idea to have a book where you get to choose what happens. Have you ever tried to read one of those books from the start all the way to the end, like without choosing anything? It doesn't work out as good, right? You're like, what a dumb story. Anyway, it's kind of funny. So there's my little ogre guy. Isn't he cute? So what would you decide? Okay, let's do a raise of hands. Raise your hands if you saw an ogre coming after you. You're like in the woods. Your choices are going to be stop dead in your tracks or run away or stay and fight. Oh, you going to ask something?
Does he have a stick like that?
He has a stick. He has a stick. What? What's your other choice? Oh. Oh, make friends with the ogre. Or... or make friends with the ogre, even though they eat people. Okay, maybe you can win his heart. Yes.
If he isn't a friendly ogre, why not create some kind of trap? Obviously, you won't be able to dig a pit.
So you see him coming. Hurry and string up some wires and try to trap the ogre. Okay. Now there's all these ideas. Okay. A diversion. Aha! Pick up a rock, chuck it far away so that hopefully his eyesight's bad, he doesn't see you, and he goes chasing after squirrel. Right? Okay, what else do we have in the back? Yes?
Feed him.
Feed him. Offer your sister as a sacrifice. Great. Make a trade. Okay, yes, right here. Okay, so take a sword, climb the tree, fall on the top of him, stab in the back. I think you're staying to fight. Is that right? Okay, so let's see, raise of hands. How many would stay and fight? Okay. How many would stop frozen in your tracks? Not that many. Okay. How many? So you're people, you're doing kind of people, right? Good job on taking the advice. Okay, what about people who would run away? How many of you would make friends? Some of you would make friends. How many of you would offer someone as a sacrifice? Oh, come on! That's horrible! Okay, that's horrible. All right, it's a good thing I'm talking to your parents. Okay, so we have to make decisions in our lives as well. And it's like every single day, every moment, we get to choose our own adventure. Well, I want to tell you a story about the warrior. You see that little boy right there? He is the warrior. Oh, I got to show you. Have you guys heard from Angie Baker? Did she talk to you? Oh, not. Oh, okay, then this doesn't matter. But the one with the little red sword, he's coming to chop the warrior with his sword. That's her son. Anyway, so I don't know if you guys do, when you're little kids around here, if any of you do something called Knights of Freedom. I don't know if you know what that is. But in Utah, we have these little groups for boys ages 8 to like 12 or 13, and it's called Knights of Freedom. And they learn about all these virtues of being good knights and stuff like that. And then they have their like their tabards, and they go to these summits, and they make weaponry, and they learn how to spar and sword fight, and there's this thing going on all the time where, like, you know, people get stolen, you know, from their camp and get made into slaves, and they're preparing for this big battle against all of these bad guys and everything. And so they're there for multiple days trying to prepare for this, like, end-all battle that's going to happen, where they have to fight the bad guys and hopefully get the queen back and all this other kind of stuff that's happened. And so this is part of that final battle. This is a picture taken in the final battle. It's pretty intense. I want to tell you about this battle. They go out, they march out. They're all like ages 8 to 12 or 13, and heavy emphasis on the 8 and 9-year-olds. There's a lot of young ones. And they're marching out there with their like puffy weapons, you know, ready to go and seriously chop at somebody, but not really chop them. And they're really excited about this battle, and they go out onto this big grassy field, and there's a hill in the distance, and they're just waiting for something to happen on that hill, because that's where the enemy's camp is back behind that hill. And so then all of a sudden the enemy comes to the top of the hill, and they're huge. They're so big, and they're all dressed in black. They're like dads, okay, and big brothers. So like a lot of you boys in here, you would be recruited to be the enemy, okay, and because you would have to be better at your sword skills and everything. They're just intense, and there's all of these little guys standing there watching the enemy come over the hill, and the enemy's like, whoa, running down the hill. And there's the one guy, he's the big guy. He's like the Sith. He's got two swords going both, you know, he's like, whoosh, you know, the puffy sword master, right? Yes, like Darth Maul. He is, he's like the Sith. And he's scared, and he comes every year. Everybody just, I'm going to kill him this year. Anyway, and so he comes over the hill, and then these little boys, they're like, okay, they build up their courage. They're all running at him, and then all of a sudden, it's like magic. All these little boys in their puffies, and they go, and they run at them. And you know who they run at the very most? They run at the Sith, that guy that is so bad. And they just go, and they attack. And one time I was there, and I watched this happen. I started to cry, not because I was worried, because it was all puffy and everything was good, but because I was so overcome by what these little boys were doing. Those were the bad guys. They were huge. They were all in black and dark, and they had way better sword skills and height, you know? They could, like, chop at their knees. It was so hard for them. And they ran at them with everything. Well, there was one boy, okay? He ran away. You can always choose. He, like, ran to his mom in tears. He's like, ah! You know, like, there's always going to be a couple that run away. But for the most part, every single one of them went chasing those bad guys. And I was overcome with emotion because I felt like these little boys have no idea
at this particular time. That right there is what they are supposed to do in their life. That there are forces of bad everywhere around us. Those forces of bad have declared war on us. They are on purpose attacking us from every single angle. And if we run away, then we are choosing to be prisoners of war. They will capture us, and it will be over. But if we fight them on purpose, by becoming something different than they want us to be, then we will win. We will be victorious. We are promised that in the scriptures. Good will win in this battle. This is the battle that has been going on forever. And you are right now in a critical moment in the battle. You are the warriors. What will you do? Will you do what everyone else is doing? Or will you do something different? Will you be a youth or a teenager? Do you know the difference between a youth and a teenager? Kinda? Does somebody want to tell me? Oh, over here, you know something? Yeah, right there in the purple shirt? Yeah?
Being a youth, like adults can be youth. It's like they act youthful. Being a teenager, kind of the way they are all the time.
Okay, so you're saying like the youth, they act differently than teens do. That there's something about teens that is kind of not grown up.
Not
is that
not exactly?
Okay.
Say take a 30-year-old guy. He's a junior. When he walks into the class, he becomes a youth. He changes the way he thinks.
Oh. Okay. So that their paradigm is completely different. Mental mindset. You can be part of this. You're with it with me. Stand up. Okay. So, you back here. Youth are responsible. Teenagers are reckless.
Can I hear an amen?
Yeah, that one is awesome. Okay. So, have you already all made up your mind? Because I'm really trying to convince you today. Right? Okay, right here. Yeah. Did everybody hear that? She says, you know, teenagers feel like there's this awkward stage between, being grown up and being a child, and that they don't know really what to do with it, but for some reason, youth feel like they want to grow up. Is that right? And that they feel like that's a good thing? Is that kind of what you're getting at? Okay. Come stand, because if I have to repeat everybody's question, that's like doing it twice. So come up here to me if you want to have a comment, because then all the people on the recording, they'll be so grateful.
I would say the one difference that I see between youth and teenagers is I think youth have purpose, and they know their purpose, and they know their identity, whereas teenagers don't have purpose, and they don't know who they are, and it's kind of the main.
What do you think about that? Do you think he's right? Yeah. I think he's definitely right. Okay, well, Spencer, he's going to show us some stuff here, and then he's going to lead a discussion about what we see, and anybody that wants to be part of this discussion, and we're hoping a lot of you do, because we know that you're going to get stuff we haven't gotten out of it. Can you even see with me there, back row people? Do I need to move? I'll move. Okay, so, and then I'm going to have the microphone, and you guys can talk into it, okay?
Live at Capital Summertime Ball with ASOS.com.
Decide if this guy's
it's Roberto
youth
here
or
backstage at 95.8 Capital FM Summertime Ball. Wembley Stadium just gone crazy right now. And I can tell you there's many, many girls like to be sitting where I am right now as well, because I'm joined by Justin Bieber. Justin, you've just wowed 70,000 Londoners.
Thank you very much.
How did it feel?
It felt great. I had a great time. You know, the fans went crazy. And, you know, I brought out the special guest, Sean Kingston. So that was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, you kept that under wraps.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even tell us earlier on. Did you invite him down here personally?
Yes.
Dude, I'm loving your stuff. Thank you very much for doing that.
No problem.
You went out on stage twice, though, with some other friends of yours.
Yes.
Usher and Will.i.am.
Yep.
Have you got them in your phone? Do you drop them a little text? Say, guys.
No, I kind of just ran out there and crashed their set.
I love that. You went on when they were doing OMG, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you know what OMB means?
Oh, my.
Bieber? Have you not heard of the Beeble?
The Beeble?
The Beeble. Your fans have come up with their own terminology, their own dictionary based on you.
All right.
Have you not heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Seriously.
Not yet.
OMB means Oh My
painful
Bieber.
For some right.
What
of you,
do you reckon Belieber means?
Like a believer?
A believer in the Bieber.
In the Bieber.
Yeah. What do you reckon a Bieberholic is?
Like they're addicted to the Bieb.
They're addicted to the Bieb.
Okay, that's about all we can handle, right? Well, at least that's about... You think he was a teenager? What was your first clue? The way he dressed, his hair, what else?
How he talks. He talks through
his skinny jeans. Oh, his ripped
well, some of you over here said how he talks. What did he say that to you that would make him be a teenager? Tone of voice.
He didn't even
Yup. He did. Oh, wow. That was a good thing to catch
good.
On. Okay, what else? He acted full of himself. Oh, you think? Belieber? Bieberholic? Huh? Yeah, he really definitely is
that
full
one,
of himself.
I got him back here.
Oh, yeah. Back there? Just yell it out or come talk in the thing. He acted like he had an accent. An accent. Well, you know, it's hanging out with all those Londoners. It really does something to you, really. You know, when they came to my house to do the BBC show, all of a sudden I started talking like them. And they're like, oh, where are you from? Utah. I can't stop. It really does something. I bet you that's what happened. I bet you that I can't even stop now. Okay. All right, so let's watch this next one and compare the two together and see what we see here.
Our next two guests are two guys who are leveraging the time that they have and the resources that they have and setting a standard that is so much higher than our culture sets for probably the most influential demographic of people that we have, and that's teenagers. People with tons of time, tons of energy, tons of strength, tons of vision, but honestly... so many people expect so little of them that these seem to be the years that are wasted the most. Please welcome Alex and Brett Harris.
You guys know who these are? These guys, they were homeschooled. These are two homeschooled brothers, okay?
Now, just to give you a little background, Alex and Brett wrote a book. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, it's called Do Hard Things. There it is.
Awesome
Hard
book.
Things. A
awesome.
Teenage rebellion against low expectations. And they wrote a follow-up to that called Start Here, Doing Hard Things Right Where You Are. They also have the Revolution Tour that they're hosting and taking these principles and bringing them to life for people right where they are. My son read your book, and so many of his friends read your book and was really inspired and wanted to do hard things right where they are. And your second follow-up book was really helpful also because it kind of gives me a place to start. What started this whole journey for you guys to write this kind of a book? I mean, is this come from your parents? Is this come from... Where do you get these kinds of ideas?
Well, it really started the summer when we were 16. Our dad walked in one morning, and he had a big stack of books. He set them down on the kitchen table, and he looked at us, and he said, I'm putting you guys on an intense reading program this summer. And we're looking at these books, and they were the size... You know, three times the size that we believe books should be. Right. These are big books. And we were looking at the titles, and they were, you know, on biographies, theology, history, sociology, all sorts of big grown-up topics. And we were just looking at each other, looking back at our dad. We could tell he was serious about this. And so, long story short, we read these books. And reading these books really opened our eyes to a much bigger world than the one we previously occupied us to. 16-year-old guys. One of the books was called The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. And in that book, he was talking about young people in countries like China and India and how they're really using their teen years to prepare themselves for life. And then contrasting that with young people in America and the way that we have a kind of a complacent attitude, the way we just expect things are just going to go our way, just if we sit around and wait long enough. And he's saying there's different results for living the teen years a different way. And the reason why that really struck us, I think, as two teenagers, was our culture says it doesn't matter how you live the teen years. This is your time to goof off. This is your time to have fun before real life starts, after high school, after college. And we realized our culture was selling us, it was selling our generation, a lie. And we felt like someone needed to tell the teens.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. You know, your book is called Do Hard Things. And you know, if you ask the typical teenager, what do you mean? You know, I mean, to them, doing something hard would be like, you know, eating 4 bacon, double cheeseburgers while playing Call of Duty on their Xbox and still winning. You know, so what kind of things do you mean when you say do hard things?
Well, when we talk about doing hard things, we really just mean doing things that take you outside your comfort zone, things that go against the flow, doing things that challenge you and stretch you. If you think about it, doing hard things is how we grow as individuals. I mean, your muscles grow stronger when you work them out. Your brain grows new neurons when it's challenged. The Bible says the testing of our faith develops perseverance. So when we say do hard things, we're telling young people, when you do something that challenges you, when you don't just sit back and wait for life to come to you, and you go out aggressively, and when you say, God wants me to do this thing, it's going to be...
Oh. Well, it was time. I was trying to stop it anyway. We could watch that for a long time. It's 30 minutes long. Did you find it interesting, some of the things that they were saying?
They were you.
They were you. She figured it out. They were you. They were definitely different than Justin Bieber, don't you think? Yeah. So, I've read their book, Do Hard Things. Amazing. They were homeschooled. They live up, I think, in Washington area, Washington, Oregon, or something like that. And they are absolutely taking the world by storm. It is incredible what they're doing. Their book says that there are too many low expectations for kids and for people in their teen years, that they don't expect them to do anything great. So because nobody's expecting them to do anything great, they're just not. They're just doing nothing. They're just worried about the next party, the next, you know, accessory they can add to their bodies or their wardrobe or whatever. And that everybody is just going nowhere. And they have a solution for those youth among us. So we want to have a little bit of a discussion. I found a microphone that doesn't have a cord. I want you to tell me, really, truly, what is the difference? What do you see that is so different between Justin Bieber and the Harris brothers? What impressed you about the Harris brothers?
They were more mature.
Definitely more mature.
They took their life more seriously. They actually tried to do something with their life, whereas Justin Bieber's just, hey, I'm famous, this is awesome, let's party.
In a nutshell, I mean, that is what it was, right? Like, everything's about me. But when you said they take their lives more seriously, like, they actually feel like there's a point to life.
I thought they were very respectful.
Their whole demeanor was so different, right? Did you see how Justin kept fidgeting and flicking with his hair and all that kind of stuff? They just sat there, and they were very respectful. Some people over here.
They were willing to actually get out there and do things.
They were doing great things, right?
Justin Bieber was more, he thought about girls, and the other guys were respectful of it. Were really arrogant.
He was very arrogant. It's a good thing he's not here today. You're seeing how we're kind of analyzing him to death. But it is true. He was arrogant. And he was thinking about girls a lot. And there was something else motivating these guys. Did you catch it kind of right at the end
what they felt like was motivating them. Exactly. I'm so glad you said that, because that's right what I was getting at. That they were trying to serve the Lord. Was there a hand down here?
I liked how they were trying to influence their peers for good and, like, trying to, you know, make a difference.
Yeah, totally. It wasn't just about them, right? They were like, wait, we're free because we read something, and now we want to make it easier for other people to be free so they don't have to read the whole stack of books that we read. We're gonna simplify this. That was genius, wasn't it?
They didn't wait for somebody else to write a book like that. Like, they did it themselves. And so, like they actually did it. Whereas Justin Bieber, he was, like, found on YouTube. At least that's what I thought he was. So, like, he only posted YouTube videos, and then somebody else reached out to them, but they decided to reach out to them.
So you're saying that they put a lot of work in. I think Justin Bieber probably works pretty hard in his singing, but I think that you're right that the way they went about it has a lot to do with their maturity and their understanding of ideas.
I also noticed that Justin Bieber, he hardly said anything. It was mostly the host and the Klitschko brothers. They told their story instead of having the host say, so this happened, so how do you feel about that?
Yeah, isn't that something? So. Whoa, that's profound. So you're saying that he's sort of waiting for life to happen to him, and the other guys have a lot of depth and stuff to share.
And he was a bad communicator.
Yeah, that's it.
The brothers, they seem more confident, whereas Justin Bieber seemed like he didn't really want to be there.
Okay, that's an interesting observance. They definitely seemed more confident, although he did have a cool hair flip, right? That was cool. Okay, back here.
They mentioned that their father helped them get where they are.
Whoa, so are you saying that they acknowledged that the family is important for a person to be successful? Whoa. That's amazing. Okay, we've got three more over here, and then we probably have maybe four. Have you had yours up for a while?
Another ing, they were inspiring, and they were more happy.
They were more happy. That's interesting that even though Justin was smiling with those pearly whites the whole time, that to you he didn't seem as happy. That's very interesting.
The brothers, their vocabulary was very refined, and they were humble.
I love that. Definitely better vocabulary, for sure.
They dressed nicer?
Yes. More respectful, right? Yeah, for sure.
Justin was all about his, he kept talking about how people were talking to him, how everyone loved him, but the brothers, they were talking about how they were helping others.
Yes, that was one thing that really hit me when I saw it. I was hoping somebody would find that.
Like their accent. Justin Bieber had an accent, but they didn't.
Totally true. Totally true.
Okay. Justin Bieber didn't even know what his fans thought of him, like how they call themselves believers and stuff. He didn't even know that such words existed in his honor.
Oh, interesting. And so you're saying that the Harris brothers, possibly then, I'm guessing you're inferring that the Harris brothers, they really do understand who they're talking to. And their point is to make a difference for them, not just to be their idol, right? Oh, very interesting. Okay, we'll have one more comment right here, and then we've got to move on, and we won't finish with all the rest.
Bieber slouched, meanwhile the others sat up.
Oh, that was amazing, you're right, wow. You noticed so many things that I didn't necessarily gather, but yeah, he was really like, oh yeah, totally at ease, right? And they were just sitting there, ready to talk in a more straight up way. Oh yeah, that's amazing. So I want to talk a little bit about heroes. Will you just push the button there? Do you know who that lady is? Molly Pitcher.
I love Molly Pitcher. She is incredible. She is one of the heroes of the Revolutionary War time. And she stayed by the cannon while her husband was completely exhausted, and she ran that cannon. She also served all those people in the battlefield water. She kept so many people alive, and she worked tirelessly at it. And she did it for the cause of freedom. She crept behind enemy lines to bring people food. She did so many things that she earned a special honor. Molly Pitcher is incredible. This is a soldier from World War II. They were also part of the hero generation. Have you ever heard of the hero generation before? You heard that terminology? There's a book by Strauss and Howe. If you like to read something that will change your life, it's called The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howe. And in The Fourth Turning, it talks about how there's these generations of people that keep cycling through history. The Revolutionary War, the people that fought in it, they were hero generation. The people that fought in World War II were hero generation. Your generation is the next hero generation. Does that do something to you? It's kind of a big deal. The reason why these people and these other generations fought was because they knew what was right and wrong, and they knew they had to fight for right. It's as simple as that. Their parents had raised them to know better, and they had to do something about it. You are part of that generation. You absolutely cannot be a Justin Bieber and fulfill your role as a hero, can you? Just won't work. Our fight looks different today. It might not be on a battlefield. My grandfather, I have two grandfathers in World War II. One of them shares a story about how they found out a Nazi prison camp was like just one day's walk from where they were, and they wanted to go and free them. And so they took a boat. They've been walking all day across Germany. They took a boat with everybody in the troop and said, okay, should we go in the morning and save these people, or should we march all night long and see if we can save a few more because the executions have already begun? They took a vote. They all voted they would run all night. And that's what they did. All night through the night they ran. And as they were just coming over the ridge to the camp, concentration camp, the Nazis were just pulling out, and all of the people were laying dead in lines, except for 100 people who were left standing because the Nazis didn't have time to shoot them dead. What if they would have voted otherwise? What if they would have wanted a good night's sleep before their run? Heroes make great sacrifices. They do things differently. They do them on purpose. Your generation is that same kind of generation, but the fight is much more devious. The fight is a moral fight. It's still about what's right and wrong, but the attacks come on the computer. And in other very devious ways, fight on purpose, do hard things. Oh, you can push ahead through this. Those are some other hero generations. Those are current ones. Those are my kids. Aren't they cute? And Madeline and Handsome. All right, Spencer's going to talk to us a wee bit about this article for maybe like 3 or 4 minutes. There is an article you all should read and discuss it in your youth groups. Every one of you. The reason why the youth in my area wrote the book called I Am Not a Teenager and Here's Why is because we read and discussed this for 3 weeks. It's an article, it's online, it's called The Myth of the Teenager, and it's on homeschoolworld.com. And it is amazing. And he's going to tell you some of the things about teenagers and youth.
Okay, you all saw those two clips. Okay, we all know who is the youth and who is the teenager. Okay, I'm guessing that none of you in here were born before 1945. Is that true? Well, you've aged well then. Okay. Before World War II, do you realize that the term teenager did not even exist? That term was created by a group of people who never wanted to grow up. We call them Peter Pans. Peter Pan group, okay? These are a group of people who had no ambitions, who were lost, who didn't want to grow up, and I don't know if you, none of you in this room are that way, okay? We talked about also some of the differences between youth and teenagers. Tell me quickly again what some of those are. What are the personality traits different from a youth versus a teenager? What are they quickly?
Mature.
Mature. What?
Respect.
I didn't hear
respect.
That. Respect. Good.
Respect.
They're not ignorant. Back here. Willing to do hard things. Very good. Others and family first. You realized in that video that Justin Bieber was, it was all about himself. He never once mentioned God. He never once mentioned somebody said his father or his family. The Harris brothers was all about leaving a mark on the world that would last far beyond when they were gone. Justin Bieber's star will come and go, thank goodness. Okay? He will have his little moment in the sun. Now, in this article, and I hope you've written this down because this is a very, very powerful article. And we wished we could have been able to bring some of the youth that we talked about that wrote this book about the teenager. It's should be coming out soon, did you say?
Oh, it's out. It's out. I'll send it to you. It's an ebook.
Okay. And in this article, Dr. Platt, he lists three things that the teenager is most afraid of. Okay? And these are the three things. Now, I know everybody in this room probably knows some teenagers. Okay? Raise your hand if you know a teenager. Raise your hand if you are a teenager.
Oh, don't do that.
No. It's not Simon Says.
Time to change.
Okay. Now tell me if you agree with this. The first fear of a teenager is this, having a child of their own. Okay. Is a teenager ready to have a child? No. Here's the second one, death. The third one is being alone. Okay, how many of you observe teenagers? What is the biggest thing that they cannot do is being by themselves? They've got to find the pack. Where's the pack? I feel uncomfortable when I'm by myself. I need somebody to talk to. I've got to talk about something. Okay? Have you seen that before? Okay, when I was reading this article, I found there was a couple things that struck me as all these three fears have something in common. Okay, one is responsibility. Does it take responsibility to have a child? Okay, is it when you die, does that make you think about your life a little bit more? Have I left a mark on the world? Yes. Okay, and in the herd, you have no responsibility. Oh, Johnny did it. Joey did it. I'm not responsible. Okay, and the other thing that these things, three things have in common is accountability. Teenagers do not want to be accountable for their own actions. Okay, now none of you in this room have that problem. Okay, let's see.
What does it look like when you don't want to be responsible? Do you know what that looks like? What do you think, back there?
Sloppy.
Sloppy? Yeah, it does kind of look sloppy. Not trustworthy. So maybe kind of devious. Do you think you connect with people a lot? Or you're just sort of like, you know, whatever. And what about with your parents? If you're not taking responsibility, then you don't really have to care.
Can I show you something real quick? Somebody mentioned over here that Justin Bieber had bad communication. Boys, this is a question more specifically for you. When your parents ask you something, do you answer them like this?
Nah. Doug. I don't know. Whatever.
Does that sound familiar? Okay. That is something a teenager do. That's something that I did. Okay, when my parents would ask me something, I was not a very good communicator. Spencer, what about this? Okay, don't do that. Be a good communicator. Okay, you saw on these two clips what good communication looks like.
Tell us more about you as a teenager. What kind of a teenager were you?
I was fantastically bad. Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, I'm going to share with you a rare glimpse into my young life.
That's me, by the way.
Yeah, she was hot.
That's why he fell in love with me. That's what I looked like.
Okay, boys in the room, make sure you marry up. All right, marry a girl who will inspire you, as mine did. Because check out what I look like. Oh, that's not the next slide. Yeah. Okay, let me tell you something. I tried to grow a mustache when I was in high school. Okay, here's what happened to my mustache. It grew very heavy right under my nose, and I look like Hitler. Okay, so don't do that. But let me share with you what I did as a teen, and this is an example of what not to do. Okay, but look in your own life, see if you did this. I was born in 1969. I know that seems prehistoric to most of you. Okay, I grew up in the era of the arcade game, the big TV, you know, the big box. Most of you don't remember that. All right. At last count, I probably spent $1,000 when I was young on video games because we didn't have Xboxes, okay? I spent a lot of time. This is what I did, all right? I was a thief, basically. I took my dad's lunch money that he gave me in junior high to buy food with. I would save that money. There was a 7-Eleven on the way home. What do you think I did with that money? Ooh, that's the latest video game. I'm going to get high score, okay? Got even worse in high school, okay? How many of you go around, or I know you're all homeschooled, but I went around to my friend and say, hey, do you got a quarter? Pretty innocent. You got a quarter? So I'd come home with $2 or $3 by the end of the day from other people. Stop at the 7-Eleven. What did I do with that money? Put it into video games. What did it do for me? Nothing.
It created an addiction. Hey.
Yes.
An addiction.
So that is an example of what not to do. Okay. So the flip side of that is it turned out okay. I became better looking, got rid of the mustache, okay, and married a woman who changed my life, all right? And most men in this room, that's what you want to look for, okay?
I'll tell you what happened. Shortly after we were married, a couple of years later, we ended up having to move back in with my parents because we were building a house and our other house sold really fast. And my brother, who at the time was a teen, he comes home with this new, like, Sony PlayStation, right? And when we're living there, so we've used it a few times because we're like, what's this new thing, right? And we just tried it out because new things always seem like a cool thing. And he said to me while we were living there, he said, we will never own something like this. And I was like, what? How come? And he said, because I will play it too much. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that he all of a sudden went, whoa, I already know where I've gone with this. I have had an addiction with this, and I'm not doing that again.
You ever seen little kids play a video game?
Yes.
You know, they're doing the actions with the video screen. That was me, and I was, you know, I was an adult.
I want to tell you about my life. I was a teenager, too. Until I was about 14, and I told some of you the other day about something that happened to me when I was 14, when all of a sudden I learned how to say okay with my parents. My relationship improved with my parents. And that was a miracle that happened in my life. But the other thing that happened when I was 14 is I finally found a mentor, like a real mentor. They happened to be teachers at my school, and they were part of the hero generation. They had served in World War II. And they taught me about purpose. They taught me about connecting with people. And about caring. The names were Mr. Forshee, Mr. Franson, and Mr. Naylor. I remember specifically Mr. Naylor taught me how to be happy. That's an interesting thing to teach someone, isn't it? But it's a final lesson. I remember I walked down the hall one day and I said, hi, Mr. Naylor. And he said, hi. I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm happy, thank you. And I was like, you're happy, thank you. I just stuck in my mind. I went back to him and I said, you just said you're happy, thank you. Why did you say that? He said, because I am. And I said, well, I know, but nobody talks that way. And he said, well, I choose to be happy. Even if my day is going bad, I tell myself, I'm happy. And when people ask me how I'm doing, I say, I'm happy, thank you. Because why wouldn't I be? Why would I pick anything else? I went, oh, you can just choose it? Holy cow! I was overcome. This was a huge learning moment for me. I went, what? You mean I'm in charge of like how I feel, my destiny, everything? I can actually just make choices? I mean, it shouldn't have been, I knew about agency, all that good stuff. It shouldn't have been that much of a revelation, but it was. They changed my life, and all of a sudden, I became good friends with my parents, a really good student. And I became confident in my friendships. I didn't have to have friends to be happy. I had plenty, but
My happiness did not hinge on them. My happiness was something from inside of me. I also knew the kind of people I needed to surround myself with. Okay, I want to share with you 5 key things in the last few minutes here that you can do to be a youth and not a teenager. Number 1 is hold your standards high. The scripture says that we are supposed to be a peculiar people. What exactly does that mean? That we're supposed to have horns? Or what does that mean? Mm-hmm. She says we make a plan. We plan for our future, yes? Because we are doing the opposite of what all the people in the world are doing in finding confusion and loneliness and sadness. Yes? The word, she's saying the word peculiar is special or treasured. That's awesome. A special or treasured people. One of my heroes is Joan of Arc. I actually love Joan of Arc. I don't know if you have researched her at all. But did you know she didn't really ever really fight with a sword, really? She wore white armor. They put her on a horse. I could tell you a whole bunch about her, but I don't have time. She was on a white horse. They gave her white armor, and they gave her a flag, a standard. And she held that standard high on the battlefield. It was a white flag with, I think, little red flowers or something on it. And so long as she held the standard high on the battlefield, all of the people who were fighting knew that God was with them, that God was on their side of the battle. France looked at Joan as someone who had been inspired by the Lord. And so they knew that the Lord would help her. So long as she held her standard high, they would fight. If her standard fell, they would retreat. She kept them fighting, and she ended the 100 Years' War. That is huge. Absolutely gigantic that she was able to do that because she held her standard high. A standard is a level of quality or excellence that we have. And by the way, it is the means to your freedom and to your happiness. Your standards that you hold high are those things that make you a peculiar person and that give you happiness, freedom, and influence. Oops, I don't know what I did. Okay. Next, do hard things. We've talked about this a lot, but doing hard things, stepping outside of your comfort zone, have high expectations for yourself, and you will go far. Children are dependent on somebody else to help them find their happiness. Adults or youth, they are cool. They are ready. They are going somewhere. Number 3, learn self-government. You are in charge of you. You need to master yourself. If you don't get along with somebody, a friend, a person in the world, a family member, you need to fix you. It's not somebody else's fault. Your happiness is something you pick. When I learned that, I was free. I was on my road to being a self-governing person. A person who masters themselves can influence the world. So say okay. We talked about this yesterday, about how saying okay actually gives you freedom. When your parents tell you to do something, if you don't get along with them right now, you just go home and try saying okay to everything they ask you to do. You choose to be in control of your own happiness and your own relationship by saying okay. And all of a sudden, you will get privileges and opportunities that you were dreaming about that you thought would never happen because they will trust you and you will be on the same team. So take control of your happiness. Number 4. Oh, look at how I spelled where. Sorry about that. Know where you are going.
Here's home school.
Have a vision of the future and have a plan, a mission, who you are and what you're shooting for. Have it be ideal. Write it out. I'm going to be this kind of a person. I'm going to have this many kids. I mean, it may not happen. The Lord steps in there and has his plans. But have a vision of where you're going. And then know that distraction kills your vision and your mission. You can have plans galore, but if you spend your days getting distracted, cell phones, computers, iPads, games, all that stuff, you will kill it. Make sure that you can answer this question every day of every moment. What are you doing that is useful? Think of your days. What are you doing that is useful? Ask yourself that question. And finally, you need to have a network. You've got to have people who are going to help you find success. This whole world is about networking. If you want to be a success on the internet, it's about networking. I've had to learn this skill, and it's very complex, but I'm getting better at it. But your success in life anyway has to do with networking. You see this picture up here? This guy right here on the right side, that's Spencer. He sings. This is a barbershop quartet. And this is my father. He sings too. And this is my son. He sings too. They all sing in a barbershop quartet, and they also all sing, see the risers behind them, in a big chorus of guys that sing a cappella harmony. And I do too with my daughter. Me and my daughter sing a cappella women's harmony. And I'll tell you something. This is an adult experience. My children, because of this adult experiences, because they wanted to do these singing things, it doesn't have to be singing, it could be anything. But you need to hook up with adults who can show you what life is really like. Make friends with adults. If you want to be a youth, make friends with adults. Make them mentor you. Go to them and say, I want to be like you. Can you help me? Can you point me in the right direction? Or just make friends with them. Feel of their greatness. Those people, just by knowing them and associating with them, will give you skills that you need for success. They will give you social skills, life skills, perspective and understanding. It's called wisdom, and it is important for becoming a youth and an adult someday. It has been so fun to be with you. This is my last youth class. You have a wonderful warmth about you. You have great things to share. Every time that you comment, I get excited. Please change the world for good. Please leave your mark. Heavenly Father doesn't make mistakes. You're here because you're supposed to influence the world for good. I can't wait to see what new you
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.